And welcome to the Week 5 Review Edition of the TSL Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Joe Kay, accompanied by my main squeeze, Emily Curry. Say hi to the people, Emily.
Hi.
All right, people, we're going to kind of go back to the way we used to do things, where we'd bring on random strangers to the league that not many people know. And today we got two of them. We got from the Passes Chaps, Mackenzie and Sean. Say hi, guys.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello. All right, you can be a little louder. It's fine. People are trying to listen to you.
Hello.
Okay, too loud. She's drinking wine, guys, I swear. Anyway, like I said, Week 5 in the books. It was extremely hot for anybody who was out there. People were falling all over the place due to dehydration and stuff. And it's only late September, so, I mean, good job on Topper again for moving up the league a couple weeks this year. I'd rather play in the sun than the snow, which we usually do in the fall. So, Mackenzie, let's start with you. How did you come into the league, and how do you enjoy being in it?
I think I came into the league... Is it 3 years ago now?
3 years ago.
Sean's next to me started the team. And no, actually, I'm lying. I started in D2. I was subbing for a team that's no longer a team.
Whoever the marketing mayors were.
It was a light blue team.
Catalina Wine Mixer.
Yeah, that's who I played for.
Oh, I didn't know.
I just subbed for that team for one season, and then people started having kids and stuff, and the team kind of broke up.
Mm-hmm. No
so
kid.
Then he started a team, and then I joined his team.
Okay, so then Sean, let's go to you. So you started the team. How did you find the league? Were you already in it and just decided to start your own team?
No, we used to go to Happy Hour at Angry every Friday. So okay. April's husband and child were in
child.
The league at the time.
You'd say things like son and daughter.
I don't like to put a gender on the person that I don't remember meeting them.
fair enough. So what did you just... Call up a bunch of your friends and just say, screw it, let's
do
this.
Yeah, we used to play on Sunday mornings anyway, so just got a team together. Ricky had a friend that played quarterback at Star Point, so he played for 3 games with us in Division 4, where we started out and got destroyed every single game.
We went down a few.
And then,
a few notches.
I remember that. So it's been about like 3 seasons or so?
Yeah.
I think this is our 6th.
3 years, I'm sorry.
Yeah, 3 years.
Six seasons. And you've always been the Passless Chaps, correct? There hasn't been another team name or iteration.
Yeah, always the Chaps.
Adam was the quarterback.
Adam started as a wide receiver, tore his ACL the first season we started, and then took the next season off to recover, started as a quarterback again the next spring, tore his ACL again the other ACL. The second game. And then,
that is horrible.
Yeah. So he's like in a wheelchair now.
Is that how that works?
No.
I don't know. I'm not a doctor. You might be. I don't really know. So that's horrifying. So anyway, you guys, like you said, you were in D4, and then you kind of like, honestly, just worked your way down to D6.
Right.
But
yeah.
I think it's safe to say that the last couple seasons have gone pretty well. Like, you kind of found your niche.
We finally, I think, have found a good flow.
And you found, well, Coach Jay's your quarterback now,
yes.
Which
I think
most people can say that helps because he just, even if he's still learning out how to be a quarterback, he's probably definitely helped with direction and all that.
Yeah, it brought a lot more structure as far as play calling and recognizing defenses.
He'll come on the field in between plays even if we're on defense, and he'll kind of
coach
map it all out for us.
Yeah.
Well, yeah,
coach. I guess you can call him a coach.
It's brilliant. Okay, so how do you guys feel about the team and the direction it's heading then? Like, just for yourself.
Last season, I mean, we finally got a good swing of things with Coach Jay.
Yes.
I think it might have been a little rocky at first because we were just getting used to like how he coaches and how we play with him.
Mm-hmm.
And we finally sat down and had a conversation with him. Really, you need to be thorough with us. Like, we need to be thoroughly taught.
Mm-hmm.
And he did, and it ended up us being in the
final. Yeah, if you definitely need to be thoroughly taught, I would always think it. I think it's safe to say Coach Jay is the person
who
would do that.
He's even learning, though, too.
Right,
you know?
I know. That man, I think, has the most patience out of anybody I've ever met. And I mean that in a good way. Not saying, like, he needed to have patience with you guys. Just
he
has patience in general.
He did
this one. So, let's see. What else is out
I'm
there?
I'm a peach.
That's what you said. You're a delightful peach. Beautiful.
No, and the Chaps were a Cinderella story last year in playoffs.
Well,
that was
nobody
so
really
exciting.
Ever considered us.
That's what I was going to say.
Like, I was so excited.
Last session, I mean, we weren't doing the podcast last season, but... Mm-hmm. I know, like, all the articles and things like that were always like, oh, Jabroni's practice squad, blah, 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 because, well, for the first 7 weeks of the season, they were just beating up on everybody and then had some good battles with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Playoffs came around, and you guys took out the Jabroni's, right?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, the season before, we beat both the practice squad and the Jabroni's.
We do well,
season,
but I don't
so.
Think anyone ever, like, realizes
yeah.
it.
Stay low-key.
Which is
stay
fine.
Flying
I'm okay
under
that
the
it's
radar.
Working, so. Because awesome. Even every year, like, the spread were always, like, projected to lose.
And I want to find who's taking action on these lines, because
It's not me.
It's fine, because we end up like...
I don't know if you can gamble nice on your own line.
No?
No, then you get like Pete Rose, and you get your kick
out. I mean, I'm only going to bet on myself.
Right. So you guys read The Godfather.
Right.
Yeah.
Who do you think The Godfather might be? Because there's always...
Ramir.
Never-ending guesses.
Someone who loves TMA.
Someone who loves TMA. Maybe someone on TMA.
Hey, Ferger.
I know, because... The odds were Joe K. Someone approached me at the bar
say
that
it, like, twice a week. Like, oh, you're this. I've been told that I'm the Sentinel. I do the rant, even though Ramirez blatantly the rant. He says it every time, and he signs it as Ramirez.
Someone saw my notebook and asked me if I was the Godfather, and I kind of got excited.
I was like, no, I'm on the podcast. Like, it's just what it is. But that is a good question. Then, so like as a team that. Like
or maybe
you
it's say. One of us, you and we never project ourselves.
Yes. That would be
crazy. Topper won't tell me who it is.
On purpose.
It bothers me. But, all right. So, like, as a team that, like, you just said it yourself. Like, people, I don't want to say doubt you, but they don't really, like, pay attention to your achievements, essentially. Because, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. maybe they don't talk to you. They don't really know who you are, whatever. So, as somebody who might be listening who is in that kind of, in that boat, either they're newer to the league or they're just not, basically they're not alcoholics who hang out at the bar all day, so not everybody knows who they are. How do you view the league? Like, do you read everything that's put on the site? Like, do you know what's happening? Do you guys talk about that stuff? Or do you just kind of, like, show up, play your games, maybe hang out at the bar sometimes and go home?
We try to hang out at the bar every time.
Yeah,
no
I would say
what,
so.
I mean,
see
at least
you guys
for a couple
there,
of hours. I think we're one of the only teams I've seen bring a funnel.
The pink funnel.
Yeah.
It hasn't come back yet.
Oh,
why not?
No, Lindsay Stoddard, if you've ever met her, typically has a funnel,
yeah.
too.
She always has one on her.
Yeah, she's a force.
That's just what she does.
Herself.
Yeah.
That's okay.
We definitely try to stay in touch with our division.
I like reading everything on the website, and I used to listen to the podcast. I think they're super interesting. I think as long as you have fun in the league, then everything's fun to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
And, like, last week was the longest I've ever stayed at the bar myself, and I had such a good time.
Yay! Well, it's because you spent an hour fighting about Crocs, which we may get into later. Okay. But,
it'll come up.
Teaser. So then, here's a question then. Is there anything you see that, like, the league itself could do to improve itself in terms of outreach, getting out there to, you know, teams that, again, maybe don't come around as often, et cetera, et cetera? They got nothing. It's fine.
I only have one game, so I'm just going to walk up to people and tell them to go to the bar.
Yeah.
That's easiest.
I feel like driving interaction through the bar is the best way to go. So
yeah, I don't know.
When I first started, I just played and left. I don't know, because I didn't know a lot of people.
Yeah, I guess I had the opposite experience. Like, even though we played, and when I started, we were in, like, D5, D4, something like that. But I already knew a couple people in the league, so it was just my time to actually, like, hang out with some of them, because I didn't see most of them, like Tommy Hughes and Cole and all them, and that's how I got to meet Lenny. And then once you meet Lenny, you just kind of, like, stick around for a while, which is
go down a rabbit hole.
Yeah, basically.
Well, yeah, like I said, I stayed the one time and I met so many people. Like, I know at least a handful of people by name now.
Now,
just staying one day.
You've been to the banquet before?
Well, we went
you
to the banquet this last year.
Yay!
Was the first time we went.
Because that's the thing that we're going to have to start pushing on the last half of the season here.
Yeah.
Because, like, definitely the banquet's going to be coming up, I believe, in January. I know Topper's still maybe a little wishy-washy if he's going to do it just because, you know, the whole going back to Lenny not being around thing. But I'm fairly certain we can make that still happen. How was your experience?
It was a lot of fun. I know they extended the open bar an extra hour, which was fantastic. Everyone was drunk, doing the worm, doing everything else.
Yeah,
and then we all went out after. We all went out after, too. So,
yes.
And then Topper ended up opening up a bar tab at one of the bars, and we all just continued to party.
Oh,
I say if you're thinking about going and you're...
on the fence?
Yeah, I say go. It's so much fun.
Yeah, you just
and that's for
a
team that just won for their first time this year.
That's awesome. Banquets
are all blurring together. For me. I had to think about where it was.
Yes, they're definitely. Yeah, this one was
gave
at the
out
Atlas Market.
Gave out Mighty Taco.
Yes.
I don't know if that's a typical thing, but you gave out
no,
Mighty
that
Taco
was new.
To the
that
winners
was,
this year.
That
was
new.
That from?
I won't
that
get hopes
Water
up,
Girl
but...
at, like, some award show that happened the night before. I can't remember what it was, but Lenny saw it, and, like, the Water Girl was in the background of, like, all the pictures with celebrities. So Lenny decided to buy a bunch of Mighty Taco to have B's brother stand behind everybody in, like, photos and stuff. And then it just became a point where we needed to do something with the tacos, so we just started passing
them
out.
Have you guys met B's brother?
I think he's hung out by the sideline a couple times.
That's probably
true. He hangs out over,
like, you know, if you meet B's brother, so you probably definitely didn't. You probably know who we're talking about, so that's super okay.
I heard you guys have a big week this week with three games.
No, that's
next week.
Next week is the big.
Okay. That was another thing we want to get into.
No, even meaning this coming Saturday or the 4th?
No, no. I'm sorry, not the coming Saturday, but
the 5th.
The 5th. That's going to be the big bet, right?
Yeah. I'll introduce you guys to him then.
So you guys.
I won't be here.
From what I won't be. I'll be in Nashville.
I'm going to Nashville.
Oh, I'll see you there, I guess. Heck so. Yeah. Yeah, so what I was told by Topper is that there was a lot of smack talk through emails.
Sean was the one who started it.
I'm aware of the scenario. So you started talking a bunch of smack about to the Tater Tots, who are also in D6. They're one of our newer teams. And which is funny because here you are as like a team that's established, and now you're talking smack to a brand new team, so that's big of you. But jokes aside... if people haven't been paying attention, there is going to be a bet on that game, which is going to be at 3 o'clock, I believe. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the losing team has to buy the other one. Well, if you guys win, they have to buy you French fries.
We don't know loaded or not. We haven't decided.
Deciding game of.
Could be loaded. Could be loaded.
See how confident.
Well, I thought there was two baskets, so get one of each.
Yeah, yeah.
That's true. That's a good point.
Okay. And then if the Tots win, of course, you have to do the same thing, but with Tater Tots, which I really hope they win because Tater Tots are superior. I think everybody knows that, but.
Ew.
What? Get out of here. Get out of my house right now.
Go home.
See, he must be the godfather.
I can't go anywhere
else. You are the godfather.
Fries are way better.
No, they're not. Yeah, French fries have always been disgusting. When growing up, onion rings were the choice over French fries.
I think fries vary.
I'm sorry that you had a bad childhood.
Yeah.
I had a great childhood. Thank you very much.
There's so many
versions of fries. My dad had a mullet and drank a lot of beer. It was spectacular.
This is all adding up.
I really need to talk to more than one counselor at a time.
Hey, I'm the league therapist.
Hey. So...
Let me ask you guys this. Have you guys heard about the 4 o'clock game? We're not allowed to call it what it's called.
The best way I can say I call it what it can be called, because I don't care. We call it Drunk Bowl. And it was a time that, and I don't know if we're going to be allowed to pull it off again after the championship weekend, which I think you guys will be playing that day for sure. It'll be the 26th. We might stay later, and what tends to happen for that game is... We all dress up in different Halloween costumes.
It's super fun.
Two captains tend to just pick the teams, and then we just play a giant game. But, like, if you're on defense and you allow a touchdown, you probably have to go chug a beer or do a shot. And before you know it, by the end of the game, penalties are awarded in drinks, by the way. We will always have referees. And it just becomes this big just shit show.
And
so,
we kick field goals where you
everybody. Yeah, there's no two-point conversion or anything.
That's incredible.
You literally just, people have to be field goal posts, and we got to kick them.
And Gordon lit fireworks off.
He went as Uncle Sam for his costume, and he scored a touchdown and then just lit fireworks off. He had a plan the whole time. He parked his truck somewhere.
That's incredible. We've never been good enough in the fall season.
No,
it has nothing to do
with
that.
Skill level has nothing to do with
that. No, but you're saying it's a championship weekend.
It's only
right?
this
no,
week.
No.
You're forgetting, though, this season, Topper just happened to move it up a few weeks. So it would have just happened in the middle of the season.
Okay.
It's really just
for
the Halloween game, essentially. Yeah. So if you guys have a costume and you're considering being really, really fun.
Festive.
Yeah, festive. We'll go with festive. The offer's out there. We'll just leave it at that.
I was the Black Swan last year.
I don't remember
what
I was.
What were you?
Was that when I
dressed
up?
Oh, you were Lenny.
I was Lenny, and then for the second half, I dressed up as Fatty Ice. For some reason that I can't explain, I made Matty Ice sign a Matty Ice jersey for me and give it to me. So I have a Matty Ice jersey that's signed, so I just wore that.
Incredible.
Interesting.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Okay.
Don't you remember? I went in for one play at quarterback and scrambled for 47 minutes until Ferger, until Ferger ruined it and actually sacked me. I was supposed to just throw a bomb and get it picked off.
Well, so this French fries game is next week.
It's not this coming Saturday, but it's the Saturday after on the 5th. And then.
You guys made some personnel changes too this season.
We did.
Oh, okay.
Got a solid squad.
Who's pink gloves? That's Eric.
He's good.
He's very good. Mm-hmm. He's very athletic. He played on my softball team. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Him, and then we picked up two girls, Jill and Jen.
Jen's got hands. She's good.
Jill's from, you said you knew her from
Jill
used to play
She was on Morningwood last year.
Yeah.
She was on Morningwood, and then they broke up this season, so she's looking for a team, and you guys wisely picked her up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then Jen was given to us by Topper, but I think you guys mentioned her last week or something.
She's been on a lot of teams. She's a really smart player.
She's very solid, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So then let me ask you a question. How many people do you have on your team that show up every week normally? Like, if your full team was there, how many people do you have?
I think we have two guy subs, one girl sub.
Yeah.
Okay.
Typically.
That's a good flow.
And when we've, the past couple of seasons, we haven't had a girl sub, which has hurt us a lot, and it makes such a difference to have one girl sub.
Oh, I love playing the whole game because I'm selfish.
Yeah, but you can also put another girl out there.
Right, it's nice to have the break. Right.
So then how many passless chaps are originals? How many are left
OG
from the original
chaps.
Squad?
Ooh, me, you, Steve.
Ricky. Dave was an added.
Dave was added, so four of us.
Wow. Yeah.
Okay. But you're also getting better results, so maybe you made the right choices. Right.
Trimming the fat. That's what I call it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh,
so.
I never realized that before.
Mm-hmm.
So that is cool. But as we are getting about 15 minutes into this already, we have to do what people are worried about. They're very concerned about how their games went. Even though they already played them, they want us to talk about it a little bit.
And people selfishly want to hear about themselves.
Yes, that's pretty much what it is. So
okay.
We can go right into the 10 o'clock games.
I will announce them.
Okay.
10 a.m. we have Public Enemy beating Tight Ends in Motion, 31-22. Dilfs beat Bullet Club, 33-27. Buffalo Solar Solutions beats Mountain Doomy, 29-23. Practice Squad beats Cobblestone 38-6. Woof. And then Tater Tots beat Blitzkrieg 34-18.
What are you laughing about? Mackenzie's laughing her face off over there, and I don't know what it's about.
Just the lines kicking him.
Daryl got his butt kicked. What the hell, Daryl?
Well, hold on. I can say, because I was playing on field two at that time, that by halftime is when Daryl started trotting up. So I don't know how much of that was Daryl's fault, but...
with his glorious hair flowing in the wind. Yeah, do you guys know Daryl, QB superstar?
Yeah, QB superstar Daryl Carr. He's been the Cobblestone quarterback for about like 100 years.
No.
Now they don't know anybody.
He's middle-aged man.
Their faces. They're like, please don't ask us. Oh my
straight
God.
Straight up, we don't know anybody.
It's super cool. That's, hey, you've got to meet
three
a whole
years
bunch of
and
people.
We still don't know
a whole bunch of people who don't like your shoes. It's fine.
That's fine.
Jay will defend you till
the
end.
Oh, I know, till the death.
He will
oh
be.
God.
So I would say that the Tots beating Blitzkrieg is, I want to say it's slightly surprising because Blitzkrieg was getting a little bit of pub about how they have a really good offense, but apparently didn't show up this time around.
Tater Tots were bitching about having personnel issues because they put like 95 people on their roster, and then the first couple weeks like 20 people came.
That could be a problem.
So they
had
like two full lineups of guys and girls, and people were pissed. I'm wondering if they kind of sorted it out.
All right, so then, you know what, let's just get right to it. You guys played Public Enemy, and you lost by a score. What happened?
What a shock.
Well, I looked over there, and your quarterback wasn't even there to start, because
Kyle
was
swinging.
Yeah,
we started with five people, so that's always fun when that happens. So, I mean, we weren't warmed up. That's our fault. Half the team showed up late. That's our fault. Cole gets the ball out within 5 seconds every single time. So typically I'm good for like 3 sacks a game. I get 0 because by the time I cross the line, the ball's gone. Lindsay Stoddard had the play of the game where she literally ripped a touchdown out of McGrath's hands, and it was awesome.
But I thought the play of the game was the one where the ball from the other field came. We're playing on the field next to them.
Drama queens.
And we definitely just, there was an overthrow on our field, and our ball went onto their field just as Public Enemy was hitting like a complete like full field bomb.
Where our defense totally fucked up and no one went with that person.
I think there was only one person on the other side of the field, and it was Public Enemy. I think it was McGrath making just a catch to just waltz in the end zone. But Jay-Z saw our ball like bounce a little bit, was nowhere near the play, but as he's supposed to do, blew the play dead. Just as they were making the catch for the touchdown.
I was going to say, did they catch it?
Oh, yeah.
Of course they did.
I know, you're making that. Oh,
no.
Oh yeah, he caught it, no problem. It was an easy, easy play there. But it's like, those are the rules, and everybody's like losing their mind, and you shouldn't call that there. But like, safety does always come into play there.
Yeah.
So they got. It's.
Yeah.
I know it's a quick judgment call. And
that's a black and white thing. Like, the ball's on the field, the whistle gets blown.
Yeah, it was pretty simple. Even though I heard that.
They basically did the same play 2 plays later and scored, so it made 0 difference.
Fair enough.
The game.
Fair enough. Buffalo Solar Solutions, who had, I would say, maybe one of the better days.
They got some new people.
Oh, really? Who are they?
Yeah, because I did not recognize 3 super fast guys that I had never seen before.
Okay.
Just saying.
All right, super fast guys. Well, good job on your win against Mountain Doomy, who are also a bunch of new super fast guys that I don't know.
Yeah.
But we will get to know
them.
But
they like come up to my waist, so that's okay.
What?
The Buffalo Solar Solutions guy. The one guy was like 6'9". He was huge. Nice. And the other two guys were super tall. The Mountain Doomy guys are like little 100-meter sprinters that are like 5 feet tall.
Spectacular. Okay, cool.
Just saying.
And then Bullet Club, we did the best we could do to lose our game this time. This calamity of errors that I will call the season has just been
Did you have good
hilarious.
Ricky or bad Ricky?
Both.
Do you guys know about that?
So our quarterback, Ricky Austin, he's been in the league for
a long time.
Since the beginning of time, pretty much. And sometimes he's a very good D1, great lights-out quarterback. And other times, he is not.
It is the hot mess express.
And I don't know what it is with him, but like he a switch flips in him, and sometimes it just gets really bad. He could be just cruising along, and he looks like the best player in the world, and then all of a sudden he gets the ball back, and he looks like he's never thrown it before. And I'm not saying this is his fault.
Yes.
Go on. You have more to comment.
I personally really like playing with Ricky.
I like Ricky too.
I picked him 2 years in a row for Breakfast Club.
Sure.
He quarterback for tight ends when we were a hot mess with no, you know, leader to guide our ship.
So listen to this one. This
okay,
one's great.
Share.
So we were down 27-18, and it was looking like life was over. We were going to lose our 100th game. And instead, Ricky showed up. He led us down the field on 5-0, gets a girl touchdown, and we get the conversion to tie it, and we have all the momentum in the world. Dills get the ball back with about 4 minutes to go. Before you know it, we get a pick on our one-inch line. I think it was Gordon or Todd picked it off. So we have the ball back at the two-minute warning. We have our timeouts. They have three of theirs, but it's right what you want. It's our ball in a tie game, so we're either, as long as we don't royally fuck this up, we're going to either tie or win.
Can I guess?
All better.
Did you royally fuck it up?
Now, it looks like you lost by 6 points.
Let's get into it. All right. We end up just drop ball on first down, whatever. We're still letting the clock run. We're not calling our timeouts. They weren't calling theirs either. We end up getting into a 3-2 scenario. Actually, you're right, because we were on the 1-inch line. We did like one of those quick throw to the sidelines just to get out of, you know, not getting safety.
Out of danger.
Then there was a drop on second down. Then we're on...
Was the first one completed?
We got
so
out of...
So you're not on the 1-inch line.
No, we're on like the 6-yard line at this point. And 3rd and 2, so we had to go to a girl.
Right.
He throws it low to JJ. She almost makes the catch. She doesn't make it. Now it's 4th and 1, but the clock's winding down. I think they said there's about 40 seconds left. And all of a sudden, one of our guys decided to call a timeout. I don't know why.
Who called a timeout?
Don't say it.
It was Gordon.
Don't do it.
Gordon? Okay.
Gordon called a timeout, and I didn't want to throw him under the bus here, but he did call a timeout, and everybody else kind of gave him the, why did you call a timeout there look?
The
because
side eye.
Why wouldn't you make them use their timeouts here? Like, we have all the time in the world. Like, we have 40 seconds for, at this point, only 3 plays, but at least it's the 3 plays we can wear out the clock on our own or force them to use their timeouts, whatever. Anyway, whatever play they called... It looked like it worked out great because there was a miscommunication on the Dilfs end, and our guy Bobby, he broke free. He was the only person on the other half of the field. Ricky chucked it about 2 feet too far. So instead of having a cool game-winning touchdown, it was just an overthrow. But now it's also 5-1, and they called their timeout. And then we forced... Oh, 20 seconds? Nah, yeah, like 20 seconds left. Okay. Force a girl throw. We get to 6-0. They call their other timeout. There's like 16 seconds left. Then for some reason, Ricky, who's our quarterback, decides that we're going to not be quarterback. We're going to call a weird trick play in the huddle.
This never works.
They snap it to,
bold strategy.
They snap it to... So Chris Nelson finally showed up. He had a great game for us. He's our best player. He just needed to basically run a streak on this play, and the play should have been just throw it as far as you can to him and hope for the best.
Because, he's better than Chad.
But instead... Yeah. Oh, yeah. For all sure. Right. But then all of a sudden, they decided to snap it to Chris. So now he's not a factor. This makes Travis, who was manning him, rush. And the plan was for him to, like, scramble a little bit to kill the time because they had already screwed up. And then instead, they hike the ball, and in 2 seconds, he throws it over to the sidelines to Ricky Austin, who I'm not entirely sure was ready for it. So he tried to, like, lateral it back poorly, and it just went, well, poorly. They didn't pick it off.
Okay,
don't get me wrong. The ball hit the ground in, like, a fumble sort of way. So we did gain some yards here, but they had two timeouts left, so they called timeout. So we couldn't run down the clock. And they had 2 plays where they basically went half the way on the field, half the distance to the goal. And then on the last play of the game, proceeded to throw a touchdown. Where they shouldn't have had a timeout to do that. So that's how we basically got defeat, wrenched away from the jaws of potential victory, or at least a tie.
And wah, wah.
I hate my life. But that's
super cool. Even so, like, to new teams, you got to be smart about that stuff. New teams don't always know.
Yeah, no.
To clock be management. Smart about that. So, like, it's so much more strategic than you think it is when you're starting out.
Right. Clock management is huge. So, like, have you guys ever had any struggles with clock management? Like, is that a thing for you?
Not clock management, more so like guy touchdown versus girl touchdown. Like, if you can give up a guy touchdown, then
just
you give
it.
Up a guy touchdown and get a girl touchdown.
There was controversy in their game because the last session, I remember the girl with the brown hair threw the ball because they needed gender points, and she threw it to Jay. And then Mackenzie Agency was flipping out, being like, there's a rule in the rule book that says you can't do that. No, but there isn't. I have the rule book. I look through it all the time.
That was never a thing. You look through the rule book all the time?
Yes, I do. And I told Brian Ferger, I said, show me the page that is on. And he's like, I will. I'm still waiting.
So we should get moving. Please, okay. 11 o'clock games.
11 o'clock games. I don't think this is the real score because I can't believe it was this low. Tight Ends in Motion beats Marketing Mayors 14-13. Energy Buff had a forfeit win against We Back. Uncle Rico's beats Full Throttle 41-21. Hope and Ruin beats Pink Terra Tacos 22-12. And the Chaps beat the Mackenzie Agency 26-18.
Well, Sean's getting a little bit more wine, so I'll talk about some other things. Real quick, We Back decided to forfeit at like the 11th hour on Friday, so boo to them. Yes. I'm going to give a shout out to Uncle Rico's here because
they won.
Yeah, they won by a good margin too. Full Throttle's been playing pretty well this season, and for them to pull off a 20-point win after looking like the world was falling apart, that's pretty big for John Sen and crew. Hope and Ruin came out with a win that they had to have. The Terra Tacos, I think, are 0-5. They can't really score points. I think they have like 40 points in their 5 games.
Damn.
It's not going very well for them at all.
They used to be good.
But they have really good girls and stuff. I just don't know what's going on there. But Sean's back, so Chaps 26, TMA 18. Probably the biggest game in D6 this week.
Talk about it.
Yeah, let's go. What happened?
Well, I think both teams are also, like, there's new people going both ways. So,
yeah,
like,
absolutely.
TMA has a new quarterback. They have two new girls, I think. Two new girls that I'm
trying to think who they have.
They have Drunk Meg.
I didn't see,
Drunk
we didn't
Meg,
play against
Val,
Meg.
Diana. They do have Steph now. Steph, I don't know how to say her name.
Oh,
but,
I didn't know she was
yeah,
on
Steph,
their team.
Steph went
I think
too.
They have not better girls, but they have good girls on their team. They got their new quarterback, which Ferger was always good, but
yeah,
I mean,
this guy
rips the ball. He rips the ball. Mm-hmm. But we also have more speed on our team, and we got new girls too. So I think halftime...
We were behind.
Yeah, we were behind in halftime. We were a little worried, and then there was a safety. The safety, I think, was really pivotal.
They had it, yeah.
You guys
we
got
pushed,
a safety?
No, we pushed
they,
them back.
They got it.
And yeah. Someone yelled from the sideline, like, oh, should we throw a guy in a rush to get a safety? We didn't, and then after that call, the quarterback fumbled it and dropped
it in the
end zone.
Like pumped, tried to bring it back in, just... Drop the ball
in
the end zone.
Oh, so
yeah.
If you drop the ball in the end zone as the quarterback, that's a safety too.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it was really pivotal because we were...
So that's what gave us the ball back
right.
To essentially run out.
And then
the
we
clock.
Got, I think, a touchdown right away off of it.
I don't think so.
Whatever.
That just gave us the 2 points to essentially
so was this the thing where you guys played really excellent defense? Because they've been scoring a lot of points.
Our defense
the
has
defense,
gotten
we,
a lot better.
Yeah, we switched the man the second half and then just
couldn't get
to
do it.
I saw you get a pick a couple weeks ago.
I did.
And nobody was making a big deal about it.
That's
I'm like, I would
we don't
be
have to make a big deal.
She acts like she's been there before,
no,
okay?
Not.
Not everybody needs immediate spread of satisfaction.
You don't always see girls getting picks,
it
so it's like a big deal when it happens.
Is that your first ever interception?
No.
Then who cares?
But that's what
still
I mean.
A big deal.
Big deal.
Just another day at the office.
Happens all the time.
That's what it's supposed to be. Yeah, exactly. That's the way it goes. I love it. So, if you play them again, do you think you just have their number, or what do you think?
I think we would probably get into their heads a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just because I think they thought they were going to win at halftime, and then I think they self-destructed a little bit.
Yeah. So
yeah,
do you guys
they get into their own heads?
Didn't you guys have a little bad blood there?
Yeah.
That's right.
Why?
I don't know
if that's
so,
just the two teams, or if that's
last, last season,
yeah.
One of our players went to go meet a ball and unfortunately ran into Drunk Meg instead.
Oh,
and then
she fell hard.
She fell hard.
She just kind of like caught it, turned around, ran into him straight to the ground.
Threats were made to meet people.
And
in
it was
lots.
Just, and Ferger got in the middle of it and was like, guys, I don't want this to happen. Can we all just shake hands and like work this out?
That happens
Ferger's
all the
nice
time.
But it almost happened
I feel
last
like
it happened kind of last week too, where Ferger kind of was just like, guys,
yeah, it got,
everyone just
it got
needs
chippy
to calm
again
down.
This time. A lot of contact.
Yeah.
The same characters involved?
Same characters.
Prim.
Characters.
You guys get credit for not calling
you know
it
what?
Out. We'll just straight up do
this
it.
Is about
care.
To be a real thing.
What
so everybody knows I am a therapist, and I think that if people get in trouble for bad behavior, whether you're mouthing off to a ref or you do some bullshit on the field, I am going to facilitate a mandatory anger management group that people have to attend if they want to return to play.
Oh.
And they have to pay.
They could just give me a drink at the bar or something.
Just like paying, it's fine. That's fine.
I also, can I give a shout out to the refs? Because I feel like they're doing a way better job.
Who was reffing your games? Do you know?
I don't know. If you like a man and another man.
Yeah. Oh,
good job, other guys.
Do you know what those men look like?
The one was wearing a hoodie without like sleeves. Glasses.
Oh, the new guy.
The new guy. You don't like the new guy. You're making that face.
He leaves for 15 minutes of the game to go get a Slurpee from his car.
See, he kind of kept everyone very low. He tried to keep everyone level-headed in our game, which... And even one of our first games, they like were calling stuff very...
Yeah, that's... So, Andy. Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
He actually admits to me when he makes the wrong call, which is nice.
I saw him do that later on because I played for Shattered Dreams against Bipolar, and he was the ref, and he does, if he makes a mistake, like, he doesn't overturn it, like, whatever, but he does come back and say, you know what, maybe I did make the wrong call, my bad, but I have to call what I see, which is what most refs will tell you, and people don't seem to understand that, because people seem to think that with 12 bodies running all helter-skelter over a field that they're going to see absolutely everything, and you just don't. It's hard. Like, I've refed before, and I usually just do the line, because that's what I want to do, and I don't feel like running up and down the field. Are you kidding me? But, jokes aside, like, I'm making sure the quarterback's not getting sacked. So I got to make sure the rusher doesn't step over soon because then you'll get yelled at for that. You got to, you know, if you miss the sack, you get yelled at for that. So no, I'm not watching picks 10 yards down the field because I'm more concerned about this, because if I see the pick, cool, but then I miss, you know, oh, well, they came over at 4. Well, did they? Maybe. Who knows? I don't know. I wasn't paying attention. Exactly. So, and then you get yelled at for that, which is always fun. So
I'm pretty sure they gave TMA 14 or 15 timeouts, but
one ref was yelling at Sean about, like, Sean's like, I'm not asking about the timeouts. He's like, I don't care about the timeouts.
I've said 2 since halftime. I was like, I don't know.
But there was just a lot of, like, I don't know, tension going on in that game.
Right.
I think
which always is when you play TMA, which isn't a bad thing.
It's not fun energy.
That surprises
me. No, it's not. It's not fun. Guys, have fun energy.
Yeah.
Fun energy's great.
I wonder if you're...
Because they have really fun people on that team.
Which is why I think the tense energy is just based on
you guys. We enjoy everybody on that team.
No, there's a couple of hotheads on that team. But
sure,
for
but
most
still, they're good people. Like, off the field, they're all spectacular.
It's high energy, but then there's good energy and bad energy.
I mean, I've said this 100 times before. Like, people will be... Like, Prim's one of the first people that... people talk about when they're like, oh, this guy's kind of like a douche on the field, whatever. And I'll say that I don't feel bad, because I'm gonna say, like, people don't know that he's actually a really good dude. Like, I remember when we were playing with Sweet and Sour, and my girl Sam, she cut and fell wrong and shattered her ankle, and Prim ran across the field, left his game, came over and started taking care of her, because that's kind of what he does. And he just was making sure that she was all right, like, set her ankle the right way, like, didn't set it, but did everything he could to get her off the field safely and get her. She had to get.
Well, and that's like when the thing went down with both teams trying to fight each other. He was just defending Meg because all he saw was her fall straight to the ground.
And I got that.
We all understood that. I mean, it's always two sides.
Was that the thing that happened? That was like a whole. There was an incident of some sort.
No, that wasn't us.
No. I don't know what that one was.
I don't either. I was playing all day.
Where's your notebook?
I played 4 games back to back.
I don't know what the incident was, but I know enough that Ramir wrote in
the
rant.
I read about the incident.
I read it in the rant. And Ramir said, it's nothing. Don't worry about it. So
I'm sure we can ask Garrett Beesing at Tuesday night.
He might have been the incident, but that's not a big deal.
No, it wasn't us.
I'm going to talk about my game.
I would like you to, because you won, and that's exciting. So there's the win you guys been trying for 5 years.
So literally, like, every single time we play Marketing Mayors, it's a 1-point game.
And here's another.
And typically we're on the losing end of it, and this time we weren't, which was phenomenal. It was a defensive game. There was like a couple drives where they were like 5-0, 6-0 on like their 10-yard line. So our defense really played pretty well. I had a bunch of sacks. Go me. I think our girls really were a big difference in this game, actually. But that's all I really have to say about it.
Fair enough.
Okay, well, moving along to noon. Okay, the Marketing Mayors beat Public Enemy, so that's the D1 Championship Showdown. 35-28. Eyes Downtown beats Gryffindor 35-0. No Punt Intended beats Endgame 44-30. Maddie's Angels loses a heartbreaker 46-43 against Buffalo Solar Solutions. And Bipolar Express beats Shattered Dreams 36-24.
Okay. You guys lost, and most people don't think you're going to do that.
So I know. That's our first loss.
What happened?
Well, we actually decided at the end of the game, no undefeated team ever wins the championship. So we're like, we got our loss out of the way because we want to win the championship.
Bullshit.
No, seriously.
You guys love murdering everybody.
That's what
nobody's okay with a loss.
That's
that
really
team.
What Matt said as we walked off the field. He's like, undefeated teams don't win the championship.
So then the loss was Maddie's fault. because that's what
the loss was nobody's fault. That team played really well. They had three fast, really tall guys, and they would get a deep ball, go down at the one, and then get a girl touchdown. And that's how you beat gender teams.
That's fair.
So the game was just back and forth the entire time. Like, nobody was ever, like, significantly up or down.
I have an interesting way to put this next, by the way, because I have a fun story for you for the other game.
Okay, whatever. So it was last play of the game. We have a controversial amount of time left. Someone said 3 seconds. Someone said 5 seconds. Someone said, like, 6.9 seconds. I don't know. So then Billy and Matt were, like, arguing about the time. 6-0, Matt throws the ball to one of our players. It does not get caught. We lose the game, and then we move on to the real game of the day.
Oh, you guys, oh, yeah, that game, too. We'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah.
So I did play for Shattered Dreams.
Your friends.
Yeah, Shattered Dreams, a bunch of my friends. Then, even though, you know, they were in the league for a little bit, and then they went to other places, and then they came back and they're doing okay, but they need a little bit of direction as well. Like, they're new. A couple of our friends that are playing on this team now didn't play before, so they're learning, whatever. So I knew they'd be short guys, so I said, screw it, I'll go play against Gordon and Val and just, you know, basically antagonize and see what I can do to help them. Now, it's funny that you said, like, that's how you beat gender teams. You have to get 8 points. Mm-hmm. Like, you just can't have guy touchdowns, and it's true. Bipolar came out, and on their first drive, they walked down the field and scored without a single problem. And I just went, oh, I don't know if this is anything that can be fixed.
I think we watched that after our game.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it was pretty quick. It was quick. Mm-hmm. And then all of us, but Shattered Dreams, to their credit, they came down and scored a touchdown of their own. And they ended up getting
the no-look pass to the corner. That guy loves that.
That's right. It worked, too. Mm-hmm. And before you knew it, Gordon started walking down the field again, but threw a pick. They got a girl pick, moved down, ended up scoring again. They're up 16-10, and on the first play of the next drive, Gordon throws another bad throw, and my friend Tony picks it off and steps out at the one, because that's what I said. I go, if you have an opportunity like that, step out at the one, got
to
make it happen.
Take a knee, or get a girl running with you to get
But he just went straight out the one, so they had first and two, essentially, at the one-inch line. And I cannot believe the play that they decided to call. And I wasn't in the huddle for this. I played a little bit of the game, but because it wasn't my team, I don't like to jump in a whole bunch. So the play they decided to call, they said it very, very loudly. And Gordon, I'll give him credit, the one thing he does is, like, stare at the opposing team's huddle to just... Because, like, people will just tell you what they're going to do. Like, if you don't mask your plays, he'll just turn around and say, all right, this guy's running this.
Or if you can read
Jay kind of does that.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. I know.
I'm like, I could hear it from the sideline. Yeah.
Do this.
Or even
this.
Say, well, we're all lined up. Like,
I need to tell him the art of secrecy.
So,
I don't think he cares.
Shattered Dreams was going for a girl for a gender touchdown, sure. So they ended up in bunch, and they snapped it to a girl. And I don't think she's ever thrown a football before, like, as a quarterback.
Was it a shot put?
They tried to do, like, a quick shovel pass to a guy for, like, the gender touchdown, but Gordon knew exactly what was going to happen, so he literally just stepped right in front of it, and I don't think she didn't know what she was doing. She didn't, like, throw it away or anything. She still tried to make it happen, and she threw it right into Gordon, and he caught it and got the pick.
Oh, so he got the touchdown.
He ended up he got the pick. He got the interception.
Oh, sorry.
He got the interception, and then they got the ball back, and after that, they ended up scoring a little bit. And, like, all I was saying, though, is but you have to try to get that gender touchdown there. Because, I mean, even though they were already up by 6 points at the time, every point counts against a gender team. And that's what a lot of, like, the newer teams are like, oh, it's a gender team, we can just outscore them all the time. Well, you can't because
it's all strategy.
Eight is always
more
than six.
3 to 4, beat
math. That's just what it is. So they tried their best, and it got close down at the end, but they ended up losing by 2 scores, so they just call it what you're going to do. Other games we had, Eyes Downtown, who just beat up on Gryffindor, unfortunately. Yeah,
the sacrificial lamb.
Yeah, it's not going well for them. They got, I think, one game left against you guys next week to try to
that's being rescheduled.
Oh, really? Okay, cool. Breaking news, everyone. So
this just in.
Right. And then, no pun intended, went out and played Endgame. This is a game where, if no pun intended, who has D3 championship aspirations, you got to win these ones. And they went out and just kind of, like,
Rachel Parker is killing it on No Punt Intended. Every time I look at them playing, she's running a wheel route, getting, like, a half field, like, interception with a guy manning her. Like, she's doing awesome.
No, she's always been like that, though. Like, whatever team she's played for, she did that for Morningwood. Like, every time she did that for GLBS last season.
Mm-hmm.
She's a very, very good player that people just tend to not consistently remember when they're talking about, like, difference makers. And the thing is, like, as good as she can be on offense, she's even better on defense because she rushes and she's so fast that these, you know, like, it's one thing to have a super fast girl rushing you in, like, D1, where like Emily, when you do it, people are like, okay, you kind of expect that. But all of a sudden you're in like D3, D4, and all of a sudden like...
Well, and she's tall too and has like a wingspan.
And a lot of these quarterbacks don't know how to like fully deal with that because it's just, it's not something they're used to. You know, you play 10 games a year and 9 of them you're dealing with kind of the same thing. Like usually it's like a shorter, not as athletic as the other girl on the team girl who's just doing her best. And all of a sudden it's like, all of a sudden this like spark plug comes in and you're like, oh God, I'm going to die. Let me get, you know, then it panics into bad throws and stuff. So
in the marketing mayor's Public Enemy game, all I heard was Tommy Hughes said Public Enemy, quote unquote, played like shit. So
that's fair.
I don't know what all about.
So
moving on to 1 o'clock. So Third and Schlong beats Ultimate Warriors 41-32. Jabronis beat the Sticky Bandits 39-16. Maddie's Angels beats the Stunts 35-17. Hung Buffalo beats Pink Terra Tacos 22-13. Zack Attack beats the Replacements 20-14.
Now, I was talking to a couple of Cunning Stunts after the game, and they were telling me that no team that goes undefeated during the season wins the championship.
Fair.
So they decided to punt on this one.
Oh, okay, fair.
But in reality, how did the game go?
Well, let me ask you guys this question. So when gender teams have guys play on defense, we do that because we're playing against a co-ed team who has guys that are probably
someone to keep up.
Taller,
like
fast,
the fastest guy on the team or biggest guy on the team.
Right. So earlier in the week, I had asked the Stunts, all girls defense, we in agreement. I didn't hear back from them. I didn't follow up, though. And then before the game, I asked Joey Batts, I said, no guys on defense, correct? I'm like, we're not having Matt play on defense. And he goes, I'm not playing defense, we're good.
Okay.
They start on offense. And we stop them so they don't score. Now the Angels are on offense, and who's on the field on defense?
Joey Bass trotting out.
Yeah. And I said a couple times, hey, get off the field. And he didn't. No. And then we kept the Angels all girls on defense for like 3 more drives. And then Katie Salisbury had to leave to go play in game on. So
Yuck.
Then I was like, Matt, just play defense for us. We need
Come
a sub.
On,
I know, right? I'm curious, though, what people like, do you feel like there's a... Like, that makes sense, girls on, like, girls versus girls for defense, if it's a gender team?
Sure, if both teams agree to it, I don't see why you wouldn't do it.
That's just what I was interested about.
You've made your point, don't worry, our listeners have heard you.
Okay, just wondering.
All 7 of them.
As a girl, I agree.
Yeah.
I would agree with that.
Like, that's the only reason
you
have
right
a guy.
You see you're like, okay, well.
Yeah, you
but
only have
But then you
a
feel
guy.
Much better when you're stopping them as an all girls on defense mm-hmm. and they have a guy out there.
Have
that
you considered playing
scared.
On a gender team?
I would if I was asked.
Really? So, like, that? Don't give me the look yet. Don't let the cat out of the bag or the dog out of the house because I hear her whining. But, like, I was just wondering because I know that there's a lot of females in your position that are like, I would like to do that, but I don't know who to talk to.
I'm also not going to say whose team it was because I subbed and I don't know if it was appropriate, but it was a different season. But I subbed for an all-girls team, and, like, you learn so much more
mm-hmm.
as a girl player being on an all-girls team.
Oh, mm-hmm. for sure.
And, like, if you have a strong quarterback, they will tell you, like, where you're supposed to be on defense. And it's, like, help me on my regular co-ed team.
That's basically,
yeah.
that's exactly how you learn.
You become such a smarter player when you play on an all-girls
usually,
team.
I mean, it's safe to say, like, for the average team, the females end up playing, like, they either rush or they're playing, like, the wing in a zone.
Right. Well, and, like, sometimes maybe quarterbacks don't trust, like, okay, like, I'm, like... They on a co-ed team, you wouldn't trust a girl to, like, run a wheel route. Like, you may not call that. But an all-gender team, like, an all-women's team,
you
like, okay,
that.
You're going to run a wheel.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that when I subbed, and it was the first wheel route I've ever run.
How'd it go?
I almost caught it. I didn't catch it, but I almost caught it.
But it was there.
But it was still exciting to say I ran one of them.
Hell
I don't know.
Did you run it the right way, though?
Yeah. I was right next to the ball. I mean, the ball was in my hand.
Yeah,
it just wasn't
that.
In my hands. It was in there, but it wasn't in there.
I had to laugh because someone from Game On was, like, talking to me, and she's like, so, yeah, I'm on a gender team, so basically, and she was, like, giving me the definition of it. I'm like, I know, we have 3 of them in Topper.
Come on down.
We're about to have a 4th. And she's like, you have 3 gender teams? I'm like, yeah, we have a lot of girls who want to play more than one
game. Did they think they came up with that
idea
first, too?
They did.
Oh, boy.
It was cute.
Send them over.
You can listen
see how
to their
they
podcast
do against
that they
their gender
totally
teams.
Didn't steal from us at all.
Yeah.
But that's super fine. That was it for... No, I'm sorry. That was not it. So, Third and Schlong wins again, which is exciting for me because they are one of my favorite teams, even if Scott Keller is an enemy of the state now. But joking aside, they had a rough start to the season for sure. They're like 0-3, 0-4, but they're on a 2-game win streak now, and that's exactly what they needed because I think that's a division where they could miss the playoffs if they keep losing. So, like I've said before, the league is a better place if Third and Schlong is winning and they're doing well, and that's kind of what I'm
So the Jabronis v. Sticky Bandits was also a big bet game.
But it ended up being the worst bet of all time.
So, yeah, the bet, like, it went between bra bets, then face paint was brought up, makeup, and the final determination was the loser had to be the winning quarterback's water boy next week.
That's it?
So Jeff, Jeff Kroll will be Joe Miano's water boy next week.
That's it. Like, literally, the first bet was, I think there was something along the lines of, no, they were going to do a thing where the losing team was going to get their jerseys for the next season designed by the other team.
I saw that, but I feel like that's too complicated. That's
not a jersey. And just
no, but that's a lot of work.
But even so, like, what if your team doesn't wear jerseys and you got to, like, okay, now we got to pay for these jerseys.
Yeah.
I'm literally wearing, like, a jersey t-shirt right now. It was $10. What a big deal.
I get it, but it seemed difficult to execute.
I personally like somebody doing a hair versus Jeff Kroll's beard match. That would have been really fun, but... But unfortunately, he was told he was not allowed to shave.
Well, there's a makeup one, too, isn't there?
Yeah, then they were all supposed to be at makeup. All the guys were
supposed
to be at
makeup. I liked the makeup one.
Yeah,
or the girls were supposed to do the makeup on the other guy's team or something like that.
But what's so weird about a guy wearing makeup?
Nothing.
It's 2019.
How progressive of you.
It's 2019.
I gotta go.
And then the bra bets were brought up. Have you heard of the bra bets before?
No.
So, Lenny Elba, bless his soul, told me about a story about back in the day. He would talk about, like, the Rose Garden heydays of, like, all this vulgar stuff that I'm not going to say on the podcast.
Yeah, we don't need to say it on the podcast.
And teams who had huge rivalries, who typically had, like, their significant other on the team, would place bra bets before the game where the losing team had to give the winning team their girl's, like, bra, and they hung it up in the Rose Garden. So it was, like, this whole thing, the outside bar of just, like, bras hanging everywhere.
I like that.
And so then last session in Breakfast Club, we brought bra bets back, and Kelly Little was the first trooper to follow through with the bra bet. So I made this thing called the Brawl of Shame, where every week I put pictures of, like, what people bet and whatever, some type of memento
got
from
a little
it.
Crazy in the last session. People were doing bets for, like, every single
I day. Had to Emily Schilling and I made a bet where the loser had to write a poem about why the other Emily was the superior Emily. So
on
receipt paper from the Rose Garden, I sat at the bar, like, for probably 20 minutes, and I wrote a full poem that rhymed, and it was actually really good.
It's funny that you mentioned Kelly, because she did a bra bet for, like, the first 3 weeks of the season, and they kept losing, so she just kept losing bras.
I know. That was my question.
Do you get them back?
Well, so she asked me, she goes, where are those bras? I'm like, they're in Topper's trunk.
I know, it makes them sound really creepy. I don't think they're in there anymore. They gotta be.
That's where the bra is.
He's just selling them. He's selling them on the side.
They are mannequins by now.
Kelly was, like, one of the only people who was, like, a real trooper about it.
Yeah, she never complained, even though you could tell she was getting a little mad about it.
Sports bras are expensive.
That was her complaint. I think she started picking, like, just, like, old ones.
I know.
She
had
a good one, and then just, like,
she was just, like,
give up
it in her other bra and be absolutely. Like, oh, it's
when I made a bra bet, I would go to Salvation Army and put a shitty bra in my car and then run and get
that. That's so smart.
That's fine. That was fair. It was acceptable.
Yeah, it's all good.
Can I ask, how do you... Like, for Breakfast Club, how do you join Breakfast Club?
Oh, this is the best. I would totally say that.
I've never known how to be a part of it.
So
this spring.
So, do you follow us on Facebook? All that other stuff? Okay.
Sure.
Sure as in no.
No, I do.
No, the website has it, too.
But we have the website. We have everything. So
kids don't use Facebook
anymore.
Yeah, but, like, Facebook's dying.
And actually, it doesn't matter because Topper will email all of the captains that are in the league, too. And about 2 to 3 to 4 weeks, depending on how much Topper really feels like doing, he'll send out an email and say, hey, we're doing Breakfast Club. And what Breakfast Club is a way for everybody to get to play a second game of the day.
At 9 a.m.
Yes. So 9 a.m. Don't make that face. It's okay. So what'll happen is we get enough for about 6 teams. So we usually get about 18 females and about whatever the math works out
40.
For there to be, like, about 6 dudes on each team, 5, 6 guys on each team. And then what'll happen is we have 6 captains. Emily's usually one of them. We usually pick the 6 strongest females we have there to spread the wealth, essentially. We pick them to be the captains, and we'll have a draft at Topper's house, and they will literally draft between the, like, people will list themselves as quarterbacks, things like that, and they will go through and draft all that stuff. And for $50, you get drafted. You don't have to pay refs or anything like that. That's all taken care of. You play at 9 o'clock. You get your own shirt. Like, you'll be given a color shirt that says Topper Sports on and stuff. And all you have to do literally is just tell Topper you want to be in it.
Yeah.
And that's it. It's just emailing
on the website
Topper@toppersports.com. And that's it. And we're always looking for more people, mm-hmm. and you already look interested enough that you ask the question, so...
Well, he's called me out that I will never make a 9 o'clock game.
She can barely make a 12 o'clock game, let alone a 9 o'clock.
That's not my concern. That is your team's concern. Yes. That'll probably just drop your draft stock.
We did a Breakfast Club plug, so it doesn't matter.
I love it. No, it's great.
Yeah.
It's funny.
Reliable people.
I was just thinking.
But I always hear about it, and I never known how to be like.
It's honestly the most fun because, like you just mentioned with your game, there was like almost pickup weird tension because you have like stuff going on there. It is sort of like pickup, and you meet. That's how you meet more people. Honestly, you get out there, you learn more that way because you're also playing with. Some D1, D2, D3 players, they can teach you some things that maybe you never thought of, and you can bring that back to your team. It makes you a better player, and you get to have more fun. You make a few more friends, and maybe you'll get a little more playing time. Maybe
is that how your Val got so good?
Contrary to popular belief, she thinks she's terrible, but she's not. But
she thought she was terrible when she played for us, so she started with us.
You'll notice the theme here. But Val's actually pretty good.
She's very good now. I'm
calling her out. I forgot to say this during the game, but she was super proud of the one play. I guess she was rushing Coach Jay. When you guys played, and she like fell as she was getting to him, but she sprung up ridiculously quickly and surprised him and got the sack.
She
had an awesome play. She's like, if you guys wanted to talk about that on the podcast, it'd
be
pretty cool. So she claims she listens to these.
Such a long way.
I know.
You sacked my man. I'm proud of you.
She played for D1.
She did quit our team. I still do
hate her. Well, she did.
Understandable.
We're in her house. You can't touch her.
I hit a fish somewhere in here.
It's fine. We'll find it. All right. That's cool. Zack Attack did what they were supposed to do in D6, and they beat the replacements. I do think Zack Attack is one of the best teams in D6 that is completely new. Well, I believe they're completely new.
I haven't even seen them yet.
The team name is new to me. Like I said, the only teams I know that in D6 have been...
D6 is a mess.
I don't think it's a mess. I think it's pretty
good.
It's
just confusing.
It's you guys,
it's
TMA,
and
Bipolar, and then it's like a bunch of, oh crap, what are these teams? Yeah. But a couple teams are starting to stand out, and Zack Attack has been one of them. They can definitely score, that's for sure.
I'm excited to see them.
Mm-hmm. When do you guys play them?
Probably during the triple header week.
Yeah, they have a triple
header. That is still yikes.
They beat TMA?
Yes, they beat them
last week.
I thought they beat them week one, but they didn't have...
The quarterback.
But, so that's it for them.
I'm just going to read all of the end games.
And then the last 2 hours worth of games.
Okay. No Punt Intended beats Puckett, 33-21. All We Do Is Quinn beats Vaspian, 44-18. Jabronis beat Frodo, 29-28. Zack Attack beats Bipolar, 27-24. Puckett All-Stars beats Sticky Bandits, 32-28. Hung Buffalo beats Cobblestone, 42-14. And Graves Brothers beats Wild Oak Beard Company, 37-25.
Fair enough. All right, let's whip through these as fast as humanly possible.
Yeah,
because
we got to go to Fight Club.
But No Punt Intended went out, and again, they won another game that they were supposed to win, and they went out and beat Puckett, who has been playing better as of late, but No Punt Intended took care of business. All We Do Is Quinn played Vaspian. I had a lot of things going on here, thinking that, like, I think Vaspian's a good young team. I wanted to see how they compared themselves to Quinn, who has just been kind of like smoking the division.
Quinn should move up to D2.
They're 1,000,000,000% moving up, regardless of if they win the championship or blow it again.
Just like Maddie's Angels had to.
Jabronis won their second game against Frodo, and a lot of that probably has to do with the quarterback from Frodo being too enamored with one of the girls from All We Do Is Quinn on the other field.
I was wondering what people were talking about with that love
saga. That is exactly what it is. He has a crush on a girl, on Quinn, and he called it
out.
Dude,
rule number one, you gotta turn off your heart during game time. And just play.
So needless to say.
Which is why Jay and I don't play on the same team.
I want to see it.
Frodo blew it. Zack Attack was taken on Bipolar, and I remember this game because it was just like that was when it was like extra hot. That's when people were like sitting on the ground with towels on their head.
This is what you got to bring squinchers, people.
It's not a bad idea.
Squinchers are these little packets of like condensed electrolytes that marathon runners do. Any hot game, I bring like 5 of them.
No, see, that's what happens in D1. I have no clue what she's talking about. Just stay far away from
it. I would have just brought
it's like an
beard
energy drink.
Or
water. Yeah, energy.
So it's just like electrolytes.
It's that gel, right?
No. It's just like
shit.
It's a powder thing.
Okay, it's a powder thing. All right, well.
That's not
find
cocaine.
It on Amazon.
Yeah, it is on Amazon.
Or is it cocaine?
It's not.
Right.
I had to play 4 games back-to-back in 80-plus weather. I was not trying to die.
I will give a quick shout-out here to Kat Peters because she was playing in the Quinn game, and they were beating up on Vaspian, and their game ended, and the field 5 was behind, as we kind of talked about earlier, just for whatever reason. And Bipolar, when I walked over there, they were losing 27-8, and it was the second half, and things weren't looking very well at all. And Kat came over, and within 3 drives, she helped them get... her presence helped them get two touchdowns and all of a sudden made it a game. They couldn't pull it out at the end, but like
she's
just from her
best
being,
player,
yeah,
I think.
Her just being on that field made the team look better. So that was really cool.
On Hung Buffalo, not in this game, I think in the 1 o'clock game, a girl on their team got laid out and her head smacked the earth, and I think she got a concussion. So whoever you are, I hope you're okay.
Well, she probably doesn't remember who she is right now.
Probably.
Fair enough.
We have a couple people on concussion protocol.
Speaking of Hung Buffalo, they went out and beat up on Cobblestone. But like I said,
what a shock.
I saw Daryl there in the morning, so I'm assuming he was there at 3. I don't really know.
I would be so pissed if I was on that team.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So it's a little rough. And Daryl, I don't know.
Doesn't
but
show
it's
up.
Part of his family, too. Right? Like, I think his son plays on the team as well. So, like, what are you going to
do? I'd be pissed
at
my dad for blowing us off.
I would yell at him, too. And then I got to see a little bit of the Graves Brothers Wild Oak Company.
So, formerly some of the five-star generals.
Yeah, so the only, like, Graves Brothers had that game in hand for most of it. But, like, they were rushing Gronk.
They always do.
I didn't know that.
He sucks ass at defense.
He's a monster, though. Like, what are you going to do when this dude is...
That's smart.
He's terrible at defense.
Jay,
is that what it is?
Jay was scared when we played them.
He's bigger than Jay. Jay doesn't look up to many people, but he had to look up to him at least. Gronk, I feel like Gronk's at least
7'2". He's not taller than him. He's just
bigger
that way.
Very intimidating. It's very scary.
He yells things as he rushes.
He's also not a very good football player, contrary to the last name. I man him
Shout
when the Angels
out.
Play him.
Fire, look out,
bro. If I can man you
maybe
and you don't catch the
maybe
ball.
Maybe he should retire.
I don't even know if you played offense.
Yeah.
Wowzers. Okay, then. Moving on. So then the last game we didn't talk about. Puckett All-Stars getting a big win over Sticky Bandits, who had just a bad day.
I know. I feel bad for Sticky Nation.
I love them. I don't know what happened with them. I heard that maybe Rags wasn't playing the best quarterback he could have been playing. And
I feel like Rags is walking on one leg. Oh, my
well,
God.
Unfortunately, so does Jeff Kroll. So.
I know, but I'm just worried he's going to like spontaneously combust. I feel like he's got
works.
A lot of injuries.
That's crazy. So we're getting really close to the hour now,
yeah.
Which is great. So this is where we move to the MVP LVPs of the week. Emily, I'm going to start with you for your MVP LVPs. What do you got?
I'm going to say the MVPs are my gender team because we are really just gelling together, killing it. My LVP is Joey Batts for deceiving me in the game and telling a lie.
You can't trust him.
Yeah, but still. All I'm right. big on keeping your word, and
okay,
that didn't happen.
Fair enough. Mackenzie, MVP, LVPs, what do you got?
My MVPs are my Crocs. Because they were very controversial at the bar on Saturday.
Well, tell us about that.
With many people, they were saying some very mean things about me associated with my Crocs.
What could they have been saying?
I don't want to.
You can absolutely say that on this show.
I can.
Obviously.
Who was making fun of your Crocs?
The general consensus with that was that I was unfuckable in Crocs.
Which is fine.
It's
who
fine.
Said that?
Many people.
Boys?
Many people. Many people. I had two girls defend Crocs, which a lot of girls don't defend Crocs, but I had my two.
I don't
defend Crocs.
I don't stand for Crocs, but I would stand for you and people talking to you.
But you stand for Coach Jay, who wears his Crocs.
Yeah, but people should not talk to girls like that.
Oh no, it's fine. I could hold my own.
Who said it?
I was not there for.
Well,
the
that's
scenario.
What my LVP is. It's all the people that were hating on my Crocs.
I'm going to find you little fuckers. I only have one game, so I'm going to be.
Names, but they know who they are.
Do Crocs make you, like, should Crocs matter? I guess so. Like,
they,
gross, right? No, I'm
for guys, it matters a lot, I found out.
I didn't know footwear was that big of a deal.
Crocs matter.
In terms of
it,
just,
I don't
like,
think it does, but when it comes to Crocs, and then, like, because I was wearing them with socks.
Who cares?
I guess this whole time
it's
I've been wearing
the wrong shoes. It's your body. Your body, your choice. I'm going to find you.
There's
whoever
light,
you
they're light and
Sunshine
convenient.
Committee's coming for you with
my
lightning
big
bolts.
Argument was if you've never owned them, you can't have an opinion.
Fair enough.
True.
I don't know if that's true.
I have one game, so I'm going to have a lot of energy this weekend.
You a lot of rage
people.
Is apparently.
Yeah.
Sean, MVP, LVP, what do you
Oof,
got?
LVP, probably the sun, because it did some damage.
Oh, I'm so mad I have the sun written down here.
Facts. Oof.
Good move,
facts.
Good move.
The MVP is the clouds, because it really saved the game.
It was ridiculously hot, that's for sure. I'm so mad you stole one of my MVPs. That's fine. As for me and my MVPs, LVPs, my MVP is actually going to go out to Ramir. Topper wasn't in town this week, and Ramir came up, and he stepped up. Like, not that Ramir hasn't been stepping up this entire season.
Yeah.
But he was always around the field. Maybe I just noticed him more because he was in friggin' caution flag yellow, so you could see him no matter where he was on the fields.
He looked like a traffic cone last week, though, with his Syracuse colors on. All right,
let's leave Vermeer alone.
I love Vermeer.
But he did. He walked around. He was always like, he was always making sure nothing went wrong, and for the most part, it didn't. And if there was an issue or two, he pretty much handled it pretty well. So,
and safety was his priority this weekend, yes, which I can really appreciate.
Sure, and he touches on that in his article on the website. So go to toppersports.com and read the rant.
Shout out to Ramir.
Shout out to Ramir. My LVPs, I did have the Sun, first of all. The other LVP, I was going to say this because I did read the rant already, and Ramir said, I'm not on the podcast this week, but my LVP is Scotty for not shooting a shot and going to talk to the girl that he has a crush on from Quinn, which I think is great.
I love that.
My LVP is actually going to be We Back, because I do hate that they can sit there and say, we don't have any players, we're forfeiting on a Friday at 11 o'clock at night or whenever they did it. That's shitty.
That's really shitty. I offered my services to be on We Back.
We all did.
And I was not allowed to play with
them.
That's
what I'm saying. Like, if they're not going to bail, I suggested in our Telegram chat that we had going on, I was just saying, like, there's enough people that we could get together to, like, have a team to play, like, Energy Buff, who got screwed out of the game now. I mean, they got a win, cool, but, like...
But Ben Stack drives 3 hours home from Utica to play.
Yeah, it's insane. Because
he works there
and
now.
And, like, that's what he looks forward to, and he doesn't get to do that now at... The last hour, I might add. Like, it wasn't like they said it a day or two ahead of time. It was kind of near the end.
Mark, you're better than that.
They said they had literally zero players. We could have still put together a team. Like I said, just off the USL. Like, we have enough players on the
Universal Southern. That's the underlying Tots versus Fries thing. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
Wanted to play them, didn't have enough. They wanted the automatic forfeit.
Sure, yeah, that was so stupid. Don't
ever ask
for an automatic forfeit.
Regardless.
It's the worst. Play the game.
So those are my LVPs. That's my LVP there. Like, you guys, there's ways around that. And if you're not going to show up for a game, like, if you're struggling,
you know.
When you sign up to have a team, like, have a team.
Send out that text on a Wednesday.
We have to get to Fight Club.
We have to get to Fight Club, so we'll do our final thoughts and get the hell out of here before I get yelled at some more. Emily, please give me your final thoughts of this week.
Final thoughts. Playing 4 games in a row made me realize I'm no longer cut out to be on the Universal sub list, so it was a blessing in disguise that it's now the Emily Curry Memorial sub list, and I am limited to just the games for the teams I am on. Blessings in disguise.
Fair enough. Mackenzie, what is your final thought for the podcast?
Final thoughts, I really want to join Breakfast Club going forward.
Awesome. That's what I like to hear. For sure.
I'll be there. Maybe.
Maybe.
Depends on how much I drink.
Whether or not she's
until
there,
then.
It's different. Sean, your final thought?
Just that French fries continue to be and always will be better than tater tots.
Hell yeah.
Welcome everybody to Sean's last appearance on our podcast.
Please, we'll start our own.
What?
And we'll eat
The French fry pod.
Yeah.
Then again, if you start a podcast and nobody listens to it, is it really a podcast?
It's not.
Everyone will listen to it.
Anyway.
Cough, the other one.
Stop it. You ruin the joke by saying it directly. All right, and then my final thought is this. Thank you to you guys for showing up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really liking what's going on with the league in terms of getting newer players and to do things like this. It is my goal for this podcast to have other people from these teams that are new and doing stuff that maybe people don't know, so we can go back to meeting people around the league. So, like, thank you, Pastor Chaps, for being here.
Yes.
Shout out to the girls from Vaspian who were on the second edition of Tito's with Travis this week. It hasn't been posted on the website, on the Facebook page yet, but Travis, the last hit got, I think Ramirez said it was like 300 hits or something. So I don't know if Travis is just sitting there hitting play a whole bunch or what. But
it's on a loop.
Yeah,
if you want to be on the podcast, come find Joe or I at the field.
Absolutely.
I'll write it down in my notebook and then we'll get a hold of you.
Well, you got to bring your notebook for that to happen. But anyways, we got to get going. Thank you guys for listening to the last hour of talk. Thank you again to Mackenzie and Sean for being here. Thank you to Emily for being here. Thank you to Val, who isn't here but allegedly will listen to this later. I swear to God, I was a great host without you being here. I kind of nailed it.
The house is clean.
No, he was great. It's
thank
clean.
You. Thank you, everybody.
The
thank
house
you.
Is clean.
Shout out to my dog who's still outside. And we got to get going here. Thank you so much, everybody. And we will see you at the fields on Saturday.
Yay!